Well, good morning and welcome. It's good to see each one of you here today. Just welcome in the name of Jesus, the name above every name, the name that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess as Lord. In Luke 19, 36 to 40, Jesus is coming into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, and the crowds of disciples are praising God. Some of the Pharisees come and they tell Jesus to stop his disciples from praising God. Listen to Jesus' answer. I tell you, if they were to keep silent, the stones would cry out. So be like the crowd of disciples praising God this morning. Just worship him with all of your heart and praise God. Praise the Father and the Holy Spirit and the Son. Don't let anything hold you back. In your worship, pour out everything that is in your heart. Whether it is good or hurts or pain, just pour that out to God as you worship him. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We praise and worship you as our Lord and Savior, our Creator and Sustainer. We thank you for your love and your mercy. You are the one deserving of all of our worship. There is nothing that can compare to you. Grow our faith deeper in you, Lord. Comfort us in our time of pain. Give us peace through our struggles. Lord, bring peace and comfort to the people in Texas who were hit by storms. I just pray that you provide for their needs. Just bring a peace upon them. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning. I invite you to stand if you are able as we worship. Now, I just want to do a quick introduction. This is my nephew, Kendall Martin, to my right, playing dobro for us this morning. I'm glad to have him here this morning.
One, two, three, four.
Thank you.
ushers come forward on this next song for this morning's offering, which will be going towards the Christian Education Sharing Fund. Just thank you for the schools that teach the entire things that we need, that our kids need to be educated on, not just the secular, but they teach the Bible as well. And so just thank God for that. And also the children may come forward with their coins from My Coins Count.
Transition to a prayer as I think about many thoughts after that song. Thank you for leading that. And it's a reminder to all of us. It's a reminder to me of our responsibility to be Christian educators wherever we're stationed in life, whatever our role, wherever our children attend, our grandchildren attend school. We as believers have responsibility to be Christian educators wherever we're at, as we're on our way to that land where the soul doesn't die and there will be no parting. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for the good news of Jesus and that we have good news to share. Lord, we ask specifically, Lord, that your word would be taught and learned and lived in each of our lives and the lives of the generations yet to come. And we pray specifically for the Christian schools, where that is incorporated into every area of teaching. We ask your blessing and your strength upon them, upon the leaders, the administrators, the faculty and staff, the students, the parents. Lord, we ask that you would help them to stand firm and strong in this world of shifting and sinking sands. We thank you that we can put our hope on you, the Rock of Ages, and we ask that you would use these gifts and the gifts you've invested in each of us to carry forward your message of hope, of truth, and salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's continue singing. Singing a couple of songs about the blood of Jesus that washes our sins away.
Thank you.
Travailing prayer, which travail means like hard work or persevering or pushing, pressing in. And so it's like really pressing into God in prayer and almost in agony. And it was about reaching the lost. And so just being in agony and groaning in prayer for the lost. And it made me think of this song and just made me ask myself the question, what am I willing to give up? Am I willing to give up my sleep, my comfort, because I care about the lost? Let's sing, How Long Has It Been?
Well, it's time for our children's message, so I'd like to invite the children to come forward. How are you guys doing this morning? Are you happy school is out? Are you enjoying summer? Yes. There's some definite yeses up here that they're happy school is over. So what are we celebrating today besides Ellen Greta's birthday? Should we sing happy birthday to you? No. They're like, no. Yes, Father's Day. Did you guys do something for your fathers today? Not yet. So, do you guys know what a Sherpa is? Well, we're celebrating Father's Day, but do you know what a Sherpa is? No, it's not a fuzzy jacket. It's actually a Himalayan people from the borders of Nepal and Tibet. What are they known for? Do you guys know? Their skill at climbing mountains. Specifically, like Mount Everest and the mountains that are around there. When you have a Sherpa as your guide, they're watching over you. They're leading you because they know where they're at. They know the mountain. They know the territory. They watch over you till you hopefully reach the top of the mountain. They carry heavy loads for you. That looks really heavy, doesn't it? How many of you would like to carry a backpack that big? I got two people that's saying yes. Everybody else, I got three. Well, I wouldn't want to carry one that big. See, they help you hopefully get to the top of the mountain, because that's your goal, right? To reach the top. And then hopefully they help you safely get to the bottom of the mountain again, right?
Because you don't want to go
low. You don't want to fall down the mountain. See, what they use is they go and they put ropes on the mountain. So I have some rope here. I need two volunteers. Well, these guys were very quick. Okay, you two, come here. Walk that way. You can have the other end. Oh, we got a giant mess going on here. Hang on. Keep going.
He's going to the music area.
All right, just stay right there. So you guys are the mountain, and you're holding the rope, right? So as someone climbing a mountain, I would take a bigger version of this. I only could find this one, this tiny little clip. You would clip it on, you'd have a harness on, and as you would walk, the rope would be there. Just in case you slipped and you fell, you wouldn't fall all the way down the mountain and maybe die. All right, mountains, you can come and sit down again. You can let the rope lay. Please come sit down. Hey, guys, please sit down. So, the Sherpas also ensure that you eat food and you drink plenty of water so you don't get sick. And that's what fathers and father figures in our lives do. A father figure might be an uncle, a grandfather, a teacher, maybe a coach or a pastor, someone who is a father figure in your life. They lead you, they teach you, they guide you. They can help you help carry heavy loads like that Sherpa was doing earlier on. And they point us to Jesus, right? That's what fathers and father figures do. They point us to Jesus. And just like the ropes that a mountain climber would use, Jesus is there to save us from falling. And step by step in our lives, our father figures and fathers, they point us to Jesus. They celebrate with us in the good times, and they celebrate with us when things don't go so good. They're there to Be with us and help us. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." So as we get older and we grow up, we remember the things that were taught us when we were young. We remember that God is there watching over us, caring for us. So I'd like to pray for you guys, and then you can have a snack and head back to your seats. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us and sending Jesus to us. Bless these children, watch over them, and protect them. Draw them closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys can have a snack and head back to your seats. Well, good morning again and happy Father's Day. This day is set aside to celebrate our fathers or father figures in our lives. These days of celebration can be joyous, but they can also be painful for those who would like to be fathers and are unable, or those who have broken relationships with their fathers. I would just want to encourage you to press into God and receive your Heavenly Father's love. And just turn these situations over to Him and allow Him to fill you with peace and comfort. Maybe you would consider being a father figure to someone else, just as God is your Father. So this morning we're going to continue our sermon series on God's design for us. God has designed us to lead. And this is not just fathers, this is everyone. Genesis 1:27. Sorry, that's Genesis 1:26. No, that is Genesis 1:27. I apologize. So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. God has designed us. We are created in his image. And leading is leadership in action. And God has created us to be leaders. Leadership may be a person's gift or a skill, but how they use that gift and their skill is leading. And being a leader is something that every one of us do in different ways. Moms, you lead your children. Children, you may lead your younger siblings or children at school, your friends. You could be a leader in your job or on a sports team. Husbands, you lead your wives. Fathers, you lead your children. You may lead your nieces or nephews. Maybe you mentor some youth, or you're a leader in a youth program. God has designed us to lead in one form of another. And this applies to the world around us and our spiritual gifts. We have leaders all around us in government, in school, and work. And every one of these has different levels of leadership. It applies to everyone. You have the worker, then middle management, then you have a general manager, a CEO, you might have a board. The church is no different. We have teachers, deacons, pastors, bishops, conference, ultimately God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And in Genesis 1, verse 26, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. They will rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock and the whole earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth.'" We're to rule over the creatures of this world. God has given us authority. But when sin entered the world, and this is where everything goes sideways, Genesis 3, verse 16. He said to the woman, I will intensify your labor pains. You will bear children with painful effort. You will desire, your desire will be for your husband, yet he will rule over you. God is handing out the punishments for sin that took place in the garden. And here he is talking to Eve. The husband will rule over the wife. And we can see that this is where the world gets its leadership style. We see that authoritative leadership all around us. People who have the mindset that it is my way or the highway. What I want done will be done the way I want it to be done. If you lead this way, things will get done, yet the morale of your people under you is not going to be good. The people will probably grumble and complain about your leadership. Then you have the opposite end of the spectrum in the form of a passive leader. You have someone who lets things go and they never correct people's mistakes. They have no direction when you ask them a question, and they're easily swayed back and forth, not standing on anything. Being a leader for some of us comes naturally, and for others, they need to work on it and grow into it and develop their skills. Some of the reason that people want to be a leader, it varies from people who want the power and the prestige to people who want to really make a change in their world. This is kind of opposite how God places leaders in position. God used Moses to bring his people out of slavery from Egypt and into the promised land. And they're in the wilderness, and we're going to pick up their journey in Exodus 18, 12 to 23. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and sacrifices to God, and Aaron came along with all the elders of Israel to eat a meal with Moses' father-in-law in God's presence. The next day, Moses sat down to judge the people, and they stood around Moses from morning until evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw everything he was doing for them, he asked, "What is this thing that you were doing for the people? Why are you alone sitting as judge, while all the people stand around you from morning till evening?" Moses replied to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. Whenever they have a dispute, it comes to me, and I make a decision between one man and another. I teach them God's statutes and laws." "What you are doing is not good," Moses' father-in-law said to him. "You will clearly wear out both yourselves and these people who are with you because the task is too heavy for you. You can't do it alone. Now listen to me. I will give you some advice, and God be with you. You will be the one to represent the people before God and bring their cases to Him. Instruct them about the statutes and laws and teach them the way to live and what they must do. But you should select from the people able men, God-fearing, trustworthy, and hating dishonest profit. Place them over people as commanders of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. They should judge the people at all times, and they can bring you every major case, but judge every minor case themselves. In this way, you will lighten your load, and they will bear it with you. If you do this, and God so directs you, you will be able to endure, and also all these people will be able to go home satisfied." Jethro comes to visit the Israelites and Moses. He sees that Moses is trying to be a good leader, yet he's missing the mark. Moses is trying to do everything himself. People are sitting around him from morning till evening so he can give them a ruling, a judgment on a situation that occurs. his father-in-law, being a father figure to Moses, tells him to point judges over different sized groups of people. They can handle the easy cases, but they're to bring the difficult cases to Moses. Moses listens to the advice of his father-in-law. Moses led the people, yet he was able to hear and take advice from others. Things didn't have to happen his way. So are we leading God's way? Or are we leading our way? And that applies in every aspect of our lives. Another man from the Bible, God chose David because of his heart. David had a heart after God. It wasn't for power. It wasn't for prestige. It was for God. And this is evident when David faces Goliath. Before he goes out to face him, Goliath comes out and he challenges the Israelite army. And listen to David's response in 1 Samuel 17:26. David spoke to the men who were standing with him. What will be done for this man who kills that Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Just who is this uncircumcised Philistine that should defy the armies of the living God? David stood up to the giant and went out to face him in battle because he was defying God. When David put God first throughout his life, he was a tremendous leader for his people. They followed him, and everything was going well. But when he followed his own will, that's when the problems started. Bathsheba, murder of Uriah, David lost his kingdom, and then he got it back. His son was killed. So what we're striving for as leaders plays a major role in the different situations that we are in. Maybe you're like Moses. When he was at the burning bush, he fought against leading. He didn't want to lead the nation of Israel. He told God that he wasn't a good speaker, and he questioned God, who am I going to tell them that's telling me to come and set them free? But he did it, and God empowered him. And God empowered David when David followed after God's heart. And God does the same for us. When we lead and we follow after God's heart, no matter what place we are and how we lead people, there's always someone that we can be an example to. God has set up a family structure of leadership. Husbands, fathers, then wives, and their children. Ephesians 5:22-25. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, because the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives are to submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and he gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her with the washing of water by the word. I read an extra verse in there. God set up leadership differently than the world sees leadership. See, the world sees it as, I'm the boss, you're going to do what I say. And Jesus, he has shown us a different way of being a leader. God is the head, and I'm to lead my wife. My wife is to submit to the authority that God has given me. But I'm supposed to love my wife like Christ loved the church, giving everything up for the church. I'm supposed to give up everything for my wife and children, as far as what I desire. If I show the love of Christ to my wife and children, that act of submitting won't be an issue. God's leadership style is more of a circle. When we submit to Christ, and love our families like Christ loved the church. It keeps going around in that circle because that is how God has designed it. Luke 22, 24 to 30. For the Son of Man will go away as it has been determined, but woe to the man by whom he is betrayed. So they began to argue among themselves which of them it could be and who was going to do it. Then a dispute arose among them about who should be considered the greatest. But he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who have authority over them have themselves called benefactors. It is not to be like that among you. On the contrary, whoever is the greatest among you should become the youngest, and whoever leads like the one serving. For who is the greater, the one at the table or the one serving? Isn't it the one at the table? But I am among you as the one who serves. You are those who stood by me in my trials. I bestow on you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Jesus shows us the servant leadership model. When God is in the number one place in our hearts, we can lead by the way we serve others. The way we serve shows what kind of a leader we are. The verses from Luke and the ones from Ephesians, they say the same things. We're supposed to be a servant leader. And Jesus gives us another example in John 13, 1-5. Our Lord and Savior, he's bending down, washing the feet of his disciples. Something that the lowest of low in a household would do. Colossians 3, 23 and 24 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know what you will receive, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward." It is the Lord you are serving. When you're leading, being a servant leader, you're serving God. And Jesus has modeled this for us. That should be our goal. And it should be to please God and not this world. And lead by His example and not by this world's example. Our goal should be to honor and praise God and not receive honor and praise from men. We should lead wherever God has placed us and lead whoever God has put under our leadership. And we should do it to honor God. Some of us have spiritual giftings of leadership, and leading comes easy. Others are more introverts and quiet, and leading will be different than those who have a strong type A personality. As we grow and mature in Christ, we can become good at leading. If we learn from our mistakes, just like Moses, he took advice from others, keeping God first in our lives. Following His leading, it makes serving easier. When I was younger as a father, I struggled with that part of giving up everything for my wife and my family. But as I grew and continue to grow in Christ, my mindset has changed. It is easier to give up things for my family as I lead them in Christ's servant model. And when I do that, I am truly leading them. In closing, all of us are leaders in some way. Each one of us is called to lead and serve, like the examples Jesus has given us. Our focus should be on serving Jesus as we lead others. Fathers and father figures, you have a very important role. It can be difficult at times. The choice you have to make to give things up and serve your family can be difficult, but they are far more valuable than anything that you can gain from this world. So keep leading your families. Keep serving them. Keep putting God first in your lives. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, just thank you for the example that you have given us in Jesus, showing us how we're supposed to lead. Lead those around us each day. Help us to place you, God, first in our lives. Help us to place the things that we want from this world aside for our families and all those that, who are under our authority. Just bless the fathers today and the father figures as we celebrate Father's Day. I just pray that you will make yourself real in a new way to each father. In Jesus' name, amen.
So as we sing this closing song, I just want to point out a point of interest. It says that it was written by Willie Nelson, and I don't know much about his life and his early life, how he grew up. I don't know that he ever professed faith in Christ, but this is called the Family Bible, and I'm guessing at some point in his life, someone took spiritual leadership, so... Thank you.
In the summer of 1921, our forefathers gave of their time and their hard-earned money to build this meeting house. I say hard-earned because in that era, most were farmers. I grew up on a farm. Our daughter and her husband are farmers. So I know that farming, even today, is a lot of hard work. But it was even more so back then without the modern labor-saving devices that we have today. The building they were building was called a meeting house. When Quakers and Mennonites first came to America, they met for worship in their homes. But then as congregations grew, meeting houses for worship were built. 102 years ago, when this 3x8 by what was then a 14-foot long oak floor joist was nailed into place here at what was then the back of this meeting house, our forefathers had no way of knowing the various uses that this building would have and the impact that it would have on future generations. They had no way to know that today some parents in this community would drop off their children here before school, where they would hear stories about Jesus, and maybe for some of them, the only place where they would learn about Jesus. They did not know that Summer Vacation Bible School would be held here for the first time in 1948, that I, along with many other children, would memorize the order of the books of the Bible, something that would, here at Bible school, something that would benefit me for the rest of my life. They didn't know that young couples such as Jane and I would be united in marriage in the building that they were building, because 100 years ago, Mennonite weddings took place in the home of the bride or at the home of the bishop. They had no idea that this building would be packed out on Saturday nights back in the 70s to see a movie, the Focused on the Family film series by Dr. James Dobson. Over the years, there were lots of changes. The building is no longer called a meeting house, but a church. As I alluded to earlier, even the front of the church was moved from that end to this end. There were additions built, Sunday school rooms added, upgrades to the heating system, and air conditioning was added, as well as more recently, the lift was installed to make it more handicap accessible. And that's where this floor joist came from, when the hole was cut in the floor to install the lift. In 1944, the first sound amplification system was installed so that all could hear the sermon clearly from anywhere in the sanctuary. And now one can hear as well as see this worship service anywhere in the world on your phone, any place where you have an internet connection via live stream. So just as those who have gone before us invested in a building, not just a building, but in building God's kingdom, I too want to invest in the eternal. We're nearing a time when any earthly wealth that we may have accumulated is going to be absolutely no value to us. No, I'm not talking about a financial collapse, although that could be a possibility, but I'm referring to something much more certain, that day when each of us will leave this earth, either by death or by the rapture of the church, when only what we have invested in God's kingdom will be of any value. So I invite each of you, as you consider giving toward the cost of the facility upgrade here at Bowmansville that you have been hearing about, to think of it not so much as a gift, but to think of it as an investment, converting money that has only temporal value into something that has eternal value. So as it says on this green card that has been mailed out, that please mark the total amount that you're choosing to invest in the Bonesville Mennonite Church facility. So don't think of it so much as a gift, but think of it as an investment. I just make a note here that on the top line here where the check boxes are, to put a check box for the total amount of what the intended gift is, and then the next three lines, how you plan to give that, whether it's some now, some during the remainder of 2023, and then also some if you intend to the in 2024. So even if it's just a one-time gift, please return the card with your gift. Thank you.
I just have a couple announcements this morning. I'll try to keep them short. Everyone have a bulletin this morning? You want to pull that out right now. Pull your bulletins out. The loose paper on the inside says announcements. On there, I'm going to touch on the Bible school that starts tomorrow night, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. 7 o'clock, the children are coming out. Everyone in your mailbox, you would have received a prayer sheet for the people. And also right here is the list of names of the people who are helpers. So this paper you can put on your refrigerator, you can put it on your kitchen counter, your table, to keep these people in prayer today and tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday, to keep these people in prayer. And also those who are helping, if you want, make sure you check your mailboxes, because it tells you more about your role and what time you need to be here at church. I think I covered that, and now turn that paper over. I want to touch on the Terry Hill Food Bank. You guys have been doing great with donating food that has been listed in the bulletin. Keep an eye out for the food, the dry foods that you guys can continue to donate. There is a need for the dry goods, and we thank you for that. But also, I do want to draw attention that they are running low on money to purchase things that are not donated, whether that's cold items or even dry goods that they're short on. So right there in the center is their address. You can either mail them a check directly, or if you wanted to use the envelope system and donate it through our church, just make sure you write Terry Hill Food Bank on, and the church will see that they get it as well. It's a great program. There's people within our church that are using it. Groceries are expensive, so you never know who you're going to be blessing. Lots of people are being blessed by the Terry Hill Food Bank, and we want to be able to support them. And lastly, last week in the bulletin, there was an announcement about the Umbles moving and the needs of the household items that they were looking for. And I wanted to say that all those items have been met. So that is great that you guys have met those needs. So if you are like, oh, bummer, I missed out on helping them meet their needs, I just wanted to say that you can still reach out to help them and bless them, since they've been a great blessing to us. You can either do a monetary gift or a gas card or a grocery gift card, and you can give that directly to them, or you can see Mary Messer, and she will see that they will receive that as they transition into a new home. It's just a couple miles up the road from here. And as Randy continues to wait for his kidney transplant, and they are ready, they are homesick, they are enjoying their time here, but they are ready to get home as well. And they have been a blessing to us, so let's bless them.
Thank you, Wilmer and Tammy. I have one other announcement that didn't make the printing of the bulletin that will be in there next week. Please remember Dwayne and Donna Weaver, Ken and Ann Becker, Brian and Renee Martin, and Rick and Anita Ringler in your prayers as they are taking the next step in discernment and meeting with the discernment team on an individual basis. So you can pray for the discernment team also during this process, that we would hear God's word and his leading as we continue on this process. There's some candy bars up here. I believe you guys know what to do with them. Give one to your father or a father figure in your life. So will you stand for a parting blessing? Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a wonderful Father's Day.